You, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd my people, Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, today the Church throughout the world celebrates the Epiphany. Epiphany means manifestation. This is a prophecy that was made by Isaiah that we heard in the first reading. How the nations will come to Jerusalem, and there they will worship the Lord. First, we have to have a little background to this prophecy. The background is that the Jews considered themselves the Lord's only possession, that anybody who was non-Jewish was literally cut off from God Yahweh. They could not have a part in the covenant that God had made with them. However, when we look at the Old Testament, we see how the Jews broke their own covenant over and over again by worshiping idols. And by doing that, they fell away from Yahweh, the one God, whom they should have loved. But God loved them, and so He would reinstitute the covenant with them, and then they would break it again, until finally, through the prophet Isaiah, he tells us that there will come one last covenant that will not be broken. How is this covenant established? It comes to us through Jesus Christ. When Jesus was dying on the cross, He said those wonderful words, "It is finished. Consummatum est." Well, what is finished? The new covenant. Jesus uses new covenant only once. And where? At the first Mass, or the Last Supper. This is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. So Jesus comes and establishes a covenant. However, it's not just with the Jews. This covenant is now extended to the nations, to the Gentiles, to the people whom the Jews considered unclean. And so St. Paul in the second reading is trying to get across to us that this was a great mystery that God had planned for the beginning of time. That He would reunite the Jews with the Gentiles. Something that the Jews could hardly imagine possible. But it was possible through the blood of Jesus, by His death on the cross. His death then establishes a new relationship with God and His people. All people who are entered into this relationship, this covenant, through baptism. A baptism not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles too. And so the early church celebrated the first occasion when the Gentiles would come from the east, represented by the wise men, three kings. They come and search for the newborn King of the Jews. We see in that statement that God had somehow inspired them to recognize that something new was happening. And so, of course, they go to the king of the region, King Herod. And he doesn't know his scripture even. He has to inquire of the chief priest, "Where is the Messiah going to be born?" And to a man, they tell him, "In Bethlehem, land of Judah." The famous prophecy that we heard in the Gospel. And so he feigns interest. "You go and search for the child too. I want to come and adore Him." And so the three kings set off for Bethlehem. And there they kneel down in adoration. In fact, a better translation would be, "And they worshipped Him." Very key act. Because worship is only for God alone. They knelt down and offered what they had, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they worshipped Him. Well, this is why we are here. We are here this morning to celebrate the Epiphany, this Sunday, this solemnity, because we come to worship Him too. We also come to bend our knee. But we must not feign interest. "Oh, yeah, I'll just do this, but I'm not going to change myself. No. We have to go back a different way. We cannot go back to Herod. That's a key line from this gospel, isn't it? That they were warned in a dream not to return to their former life, but go back to your own country by another way. In fact, the way was one of the earliest recognitions of being a Christian, that you are on a different path now. And that is, that should be true for all of us. We were once in sin, but now the light of Christ has come into our lives and has changed us and must change us so that we are no longer the same person, but one who is on a different path, the path to God, the path to holiness. And holiness means that we have to give what we have back to God. Because God has given us the greatest thing ever. Through Jesus Christ we have salvation. That God had instituted this new mystery that not only the Jews but all the Gentiles can enter into a new relationship with God. And we do that through prayer. We do that through the sacramental life. We do that by offering what we have, our own gifts of time, talent, and treasure. What's more important of the three? We don't know. Time is very important to us. So many people are stretched in very many ways. They can scarcely come up with 1 hour a week for God. But yet 1 hour is less than 1% of a week. That's the least we can do to worship our Savior, to bend our knee, to come here to St. Mary's week after week and offering God our time that actually belongs to Him anyways, doesn't it? Our whole life belongs to Him. He has reconstituted time. In fact, our calendar starts from the birth of Jesus. So literally, our time belongs to Jesus. And so our time, too, in worship belongs to Him. A 1 hour Mass should not be a problem. Should not be a problem. We give God time in prayer at home, in scripture reading, in praying the rosary, either in private or together here at St. Mary's. In short, we honor God with our hearts and with our minds. Talent. We should be offering God our talent too. Now each and every one of us has a different talent. We have to discern how we can best use that talent for God. Lord, we should be praying, help me to glorify Your name by using the gifts You have given to me. Perhaps a talent of being a lector, altar serving, ushering, playing the organ, playing the keyboard, singing, doing maintenance. Whatever the talent we have, we should be looking to use it for the glory of God and not just for ourselves, huh? So on the Feast of the Epiphany, we should be asking God, let me imitate the three kings, offering my time, my talent, and my treasure. That means that we give to help build up this church, this parish. The traditional tithing is 10%. 10% of our income goes back to God in some way. Normally that's broken up in 5% locally to the parish and 5% to other charities. We are to be generous with what God has given to us because, and listen to this, we cannot outdo God in generosity. We cannot outdo God in generosity. If we are generous with others, with the church, God will be generous with us. This is the faith we have as Catholic Christians. And this is what it means to be adorers of Jesus, that we truly go back a different way than we were before, that we allow the graces that come to us through Jesus Christ to change our lives and to recognize what has happened, that God has entered into human history so that all time belongs to Him. God has entered into the human family, the Holy Family. God, the Word, became flesh in Jesus Christ so that He could establish something new and everlasting. His covenant, not only with the Jews, but with all mankind.